Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 31, which is a psalm of David. In this psalm, David urgently and prayerfully pours out his heart to God. He's facing persecution and death threats, but he places his trust in God. He relies on the Lord to rescue him from his enemies and to keep him safe. And so he turns in prayer and acknowledges his pain. He laments all of the bad things that have happened to him. Let's listen now to our scripture. Again, it's from Psalm 31. I will read verses 1 through 5 and then 15 and 16. And this is what the scripture says. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Amen. Now, people are praying daily for an end to the coronavirus. This little enemy has upended our lives and brought suffering to millions of people. We all want it gone. And so we're praying. We're praying for a miracle. We're praying for each other. In the last month or two, how many times have you said to another person, "You're in my thoughts and prayers"? I know I've done it a lot. I've said it to people who have a family member working in healthcare. I've said it to folks who've lost a loved one. And I've said it to people who are dealing with unemployment. We hold each other in our thoughts and prayers. It's what we do because we value prayer. But not everyone does. Some people, like atheists, think prayer is a bunch of nonsense that makes no difference. Some others may not go that far, but they look at the way we Christians practice praying, and they think we're treating God like a giant gumball machine where we put in our prayers, and out comes the results. Of course, treating prayer like this is troubling. And part of the problem is that it can be harmful on other people. You see, if we think that we can get the results we want by praying the right words, then what we're really saying is that those who suffer haven't been prayerful enough to deserve something better. So how we understand prayer is vitally important to the way we practice our faith. Now, prayer certainly involves petitioning God for the things that we need. But it's also about praising God, repenting of our sins, lifting up those who are in need or suffering or hurting in some way, and listening to the Holy Spirit. And prayer should move us to action. But if all we do in prayer is talk, then we're missing out on so much more. Let's not forget that Jesus cautioned his disciples about this very thing. In Matthew 6, Jesus says this, "When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." I think our prayers can sound like a bunch of empty platitudes when we fail to connect them with meaningful action. You know, when we tell another person that they're in our thoughts and prayers, they may wonder if we really mean it. It may sound like we're just heaping up a bunch of empty phrases. So whenever it's possible, we ought to take action and do something for the person for whom we're praying. Now, the early Christians took seriously the need to connect their prayers with action. You know, when they prayed for a person in prison, they showed up at the prisons to feed the prisoners. And when they prayed for the sick, they didn't simply ask God for healing. They would go to the sick and anoint them with oil in a healing ritual. So to follow in that tradition demands that we not only talk to God when we pray, but that we also back our words with action. Now, in the early church, many faithful believers wanted there to be a strong connection between their words and their actions. In his New Testament letter, James wrote, "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace and keep warm and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that?" James believed that faith without works is dead. And many Christians would agree with him and would even argue that prayer without action is dead. Now, loving action makes a tremendous difference. Now, just imagine for a moment that you're sick or seriously ill. Now, you want to be prayed for, but getting a phone call or a card or some flowers goes even farther. It means more. Now, there are many reasons that we should connect our prayers with our actions, but not every need can be met with action. Sometimes nothing can be done except to offer our thoughts and prayers. Picture in your mind a friend who's going through a divorce or a loved one who has a terminal illness. In situations like these, there's not much we can do to solve their problems. We can certainly pray for them, but we can't fix what's wrong. And if we can't fix what's wrong, we may begin to wonder, what's the value of praying? Well, let's first consider what prayer does to us. It changes us. Our prayer changes our relationship with God. And Psalm 31 helps us think through this. Now, this psalm is a prayer of deliverance. David prays in verse 2, "Incline your ear to me, rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me." Now, what we see in this prayer is a desire from David to deepen his relationship with God. He asks the Lord to hear him and rescue him. And he requests that God be a rock of refuge, a place of safety, a mighty fortress. I also want you to see that he doesn't ask God to change the situation. When I see athletes kneel in prayer before the start of a game, I often wonder what they're praying about. Are they asking God for a victory? Maybe they are. I know as a fan, I certainly get the urge to pray that my team will win. Of course, if there's any evidence from my prayers, that doesn't seem to be working, and I certainly don't think that God answers those types of prayers. A few years ago, a group of atheists were protesting prayer and trying to criticize people of faith. And so they put up a billboard outside of the Super Bowl that said, "A Hail Mary only works in football." And then they followed it up with a press release that said, "It's time to stop believing that prayer works." Now, personally, I don't believe God's concerned with which team wins a game. But those atheists were wrong to say that prayer doesn't work. Now, I'm not suggesting that prayer changes the outcome of sporting events, but it does change the person who prays. You know, when we pray, we're drawn into a deeper relationship with God, who leads us and guides us. In verse 3, David prayed, "You indeed are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me." The encounters that we have with God in prayer are powerful because those encounters often give us direction and clarity, and ultimately, they lead us to change and grow. The Serenity Prayer is a prime example of this. Countless numbers of people who have been addicted to drugs and alcohol have prayed this prayer. They've prayed, "God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Now, in this prayer, God is not asked to miraculously take away a desire for drugs or alcohol. Instead, God is asked to give serenity and courage and wisdom. And when people pray this prayer, they're asking God to give them the qualities needed to live a better, healthier life. And it works. Millions of people have become sober with the help of God and the support of 12-step programs where they've learned the power of prayer. It's through prayer that hearts and minds are changed and people have their lives transformed. That's the value of prayer. Another reason prayer is so important is that it helps us face the hard things that come in life. Now, through prayer, God grants us a sense of peace and serenity when we're dealing with something that's challenging, as well as courage and wisdom. Now, whether you're facing a tough situation at home or with work or at school, prayer helps us hang in there. I think baseball players really know how to do this, which, by the way, is something I'm really missing right now. I'm a big Baltimore Orioles fan. I know they've had two horrible seasons, but I'm optimistic about this season. They had a fairly good spring training. I really wish I could go to one of their games where I could enjoy some peanuts and hot dogs and scour through all the players' statistics and see who has the highest batting average. Oddly enough, baseball is the one sport in which hitting the ball 30% of the time is considered great. A player who has a batting average of 300 is considered a star. Now, out of every 10 at-bats, he gets three hits. The other seven times, he fails. He strikes out, he flies out, or he gets tagged out. But baseball players know that failing 7 out of 10 times is not the end of the world. They hang in there, and they keep praying. They pray that their failures, their strikeouts, won't bring them down. And they pray that they'll develop into the best possible player that they can be. Now, their prayers won't change the speed of the opposing pitcher's fastball, and it won't lead to more home runs, but it gives them the skills needed to keep going. Prayer helps us hang in there whenever we're facing something challenging. That's why we should pray for peace and serenity when we're filled with fear and anxiety. We should pray for courage when we have to make a hard decision or when we face something scary. And we should pray for wisdom that we would make the best possible decision. When we lift up our problems in prayer, God helps us assess what's going on and leads us to take action in those situations in which we can control. And when there's nothing we can do, prayer helps us accept that reality. That's the attitude David lived with. In verses 15 and 16, he says, "My times are in your hand. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love." Now we see a sense of calmness from David. He knew that his life and his problems were in God's hands. And we can experience that same kind of calmness by trusting in the Lord and lifting up our problems to God. And we can handle our problems most effectively when we believe that God is with us, working to save us. When we don't rely on prayer, we tend to worry. And when we worry, we tend to act helpless. But when we pray, we're moved to action. We do something in response to whatever the situation is. Now, for me, when a family member gets sick or a friend is ill, I'll say a prayer for them and give them a call. When I hear some bad news, I'll pray for the victims. And when I'm troubled by something, I'll pray for guidance. But no matter what the situation is, we can always lift up our problems to God. We can't always do something about our concerns, but we can pray. And prayer helps us deal with the hard things that life throws at us. A third reason prayer is so significant is that it centers us in God's will that we might live life to its fullest. When we're going through a rough time, we can pray the words of verse 2. We can pray that God would be our refuge, that God would be a strong fortress for us. In our time of need, we pray that God will help us regain our footing so that we can live our best life. Now, there are many things in this world that work against the will of God, like pain and suffering, violence and death. But God wants to save us from those things. And that's where prayer comes in. Through prayer, God reminds us that nothing in creation, no matter how bad it is, will ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through prayer, we find healing and peace and wisdom and courage, all of which help us live life more fully. I can't stress enough the importance of prayer. Prayer changes us. Prayer helps us face the hard things that come in life, many of which we have no control over. And prayer aligns us with the will of God. Let's be people of prayer. Let's not give up holding each other in our thoughts and prayers. And let's put our prayers into action when we can. And when we can't do anything in a given situation, let's keep praying that God would bring healing and wholeness. I want to invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. And during this time, you might want to go ahead and grab an index card or a sheet of paper just so that you can write down your prayers. You may even want to divide your prayer up into four parts. Think of this as an acronym. You think of the word pray as an acronym, where P stands for praise, R stands for repent, A stands for ask, and Y stands for yield. So praise God, repent of your sins, ask God for help for yourself and for others, and yield to God. That is, take the time to listen to the Holy Spirit. And as you're listening, think through how God is leading you to put your prayers into action. So take a moment now to pray right where you are, and write down your prayers. And once you finish, I encourage you to keep your prayer card with you. Return to it throughout the week and keep praying for those concerns. Keep holding each other in your thoughts and prayers. Let's go together to the Lord in prayer, and we'll have a moment of silence, and then I'll close our time together with a prayer. But let's pray now. Oh God, we thank you for the gift of prayer and for hearing the prayers we've just shared. We're praying for each other and for our world. We pray for the church that is scattered around this city and all around the world, that we might live out your good news in both word and deed. We also pray for those who are sick in body or in spirit. We pray for those who are lonely and grieving. We pray for those who are hurting and in need. And to all of these for whom we've prayed, may your Holy Spirit minister to them and work through us, and help all of us be faithful to you. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.